Welcome back, everybody, to the second episode of the Tiger View podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Gavin James, and I'm proud to be partnered with your other co-host, Dawson Smith. Now, Dawson, we've had another good week of Clemson athletics news, bunch of stuff going around with all the sports. If you are listening for the first time, we want to say thank you for tuning in. If you're a returning listener, we also want to thank you and just keep coming back and listen to us as we talk each week. As always, we're going to try and do these on Sunday evening. Schedule-wise, if we need to switch up, we can. But yeah, before we go into everything, I just want to say congrats to Dawson for joining the Tiger View Media team. And happy that we could bring you on, and I knew you'd be a great fit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was kind of something we kind of tried to keep under wraps, for a couple of days. I know kind of the first intro was it was, me and you doing this podcast, and we kind of just saw where it went from there, and here we are a week later, and I got my first article written out. It's published right now on the Tiger View Media. So, hey.
We'll actually touch on that later, but yeah, I just wanted to congratulate you. I know you don't want to do too much on that, but I just thought I'd recognize you for that. But anyway, so this week's show is kind of like last week's setup wise. We're gonna talk a little bit of baseball, softball, some more football stuff. We got the spring game coming up this week, and then also Dawson wants to touch on the rev sharing and everything like that. And also, we got a bunch of big basketball news that came out this week with different things with that. And then Dawson also interviewed one of the Clemson baseball players, and we'll let him touch on that here soon. And then just the schedule for the upcoming week. But starting it off first, I feel like we always have to talk on baseball. So they went down to Atlanta this past week for the first road ACC series. And it was kind of a back and forth battle between them and Tech. So they ended up winning the series 2-1. But anything you want to touch on with that?
I think I'll start on Friday night's game. To me early on, it just felt like a odd game to me, really. Aiden Canock, he went 5 innings, allowed 7 hits, allowed 5 earned runs. That's not a traditional Aiden Canock ace game. It really didn't feel like that. And I mean, we got good work out of the pen outside of him, but to me is we're looking at Aiden Canock to be our ace right now. And especially Ethan Darden not pitching very well on Saturday, and us kind of still in between on pitchers on Sunday, we have to have elite games out of Aiden Canock down the stretch, and especially in the postseason if we're going to have any chance at making a run, which I personally think he'll figure it out. But we got to figure out a lot of other things on the back end. We got to, it kind of feels like BJ Bailey really did step up and play really well Sunday, but or Saturday night. But look, there's just a lot that goes into that. And then as far as hitting, I would say that we moved back Colin Priest a couple of spots back, which I think is really beneficial because for one reason was Colin wasn't it didn't feel like he was seeing the ball very well. And when you're not hitting the ball very well, you're rolling over a lot. Especially when you got a guy like Cam hitting at 3 right in front of you. Pitchers and other teams can sometimes pitch around Cam, maybe not let him do any damage, maybe put him on a walk him or something, because they know they can, get Colin up next and, probably potentially target him for an out. So I think sliding Gaffney right into that 4 spot was really a good move, and Gaffney really played really well this weekend.
Yeah, just a bunch of different things you could talk about on the baseball side. I'm with you on Aiden. He didn't have his best start, but we need him to have those good starts to start off those game ones of the series, because that's always crucial whenever you can go in there and get that game one win, and you need somebody who can really go in and shut down that lineup of whoever you're playing and just really setting the tone for that weekend series or just any other series in general. But we talked on it last week about the Sunday starter, and they left it TBA again, and many people were kind of guessing who it was, and I think me and you kind of guessed right, and we seen BJ Bailey out there on the mound last night, and as I tweeted out, I think we found our Sunday starter in BJ. I think he had 8 strikeouts, which was a career high for him, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I mean, I think we found the guy in BJ, and just a tough break for Ethan Darden as well. You really don't see that at him, but I mean, it's baseball, it happens. I mean, you can't help help anything with that, but I'm just glad that we were able to get that series win against a pretty good Georgia Tech team. I mean, that second game, I think everybody probably wants to forget about, but it happens. Like I said, it's baseball, and I mean, it's the tale of two games in that doubleheader yesterday. Take the loss 18-2, kind of want to flush that, move on to the next game, and you do that with a 4-3 win right there in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, especially with it being a doubleheader, that's almost the best thing that could have happened. I mean, you come out, you get the doors blown off you give up, what was it, 10 runs in the fourth? And I mean, ultimately, all day, you just didn't look good at all. And, you say, hey, after the game's over, say, hey, all right, 15, 20, 30 minutes, turn right back around and play. And you came out of the gate, and I mean, BJ battled early. He had a lot of tough situations. He had bases loaded at one point. And it would have been really easy for him to kind of let the wheels come off and, let up a couple of hits and probably force Eric Backes to go to the pen early. But he really stepped up and played really well. And I also want to touch on Colin Priest. Colin Priest, like I mentioned earlier, got moved down in the lineup a little bit due to his hitting. And I mean, hey, what does he do? He just comes out and hits. That's all he does. I believe he hit two bombs. And he just played really well overall. Same with a lot of the guys. They really responded well Saturday night. That was kind of what we were looking for. But, I told a couple of people this, I believe, Saturday night. And I said that, right now, looking at it, kind of from a reporter stance and looking at other teams, I said, we can't keep having this issue. We cannot, we can't be in the middle of June or in a super regional or say even a regional, and we're looking at our, third starter, or maybe we're looking at Darden and we're saying, hey, we got to have more out of you. We can't rely on our offense to score a bunch of runs every single game because truthfully, that's just unrealistic. When you get into Omaha, the best teams that win are the teams that have elite pitching. And, truly, I think even the last, 2 to 3 years, we've been knocked out of our regional and knocked out of the super regional because we didn't have better pitchers. We've been outpitched every single time we've lost. And, unless some things change this year, I think that's going to be, that could, we don't want it to happen. But frankly, if we don't get a lot better in that area, we might be looking down the same gun barrel at, come June.
Yeah, I'm definitely right there with you. Pitching's always key in any type of baseball to get you as far as you want to go. But I mean, I definitely know we had the lineup to do it, but I just feel like we need just a tad bit more out of the pitching if we really want to get to the fullest of what we have with this team. Because I mean, they definitely have the talent to make it to Omaha, but I just keep questioning this pitching. I mean, I know we have some pretty good arms, but like I said, I feel like they need just a tad bit more right there with their performances. But anything else you want to touch on baseball? I think we did a pretty good job with that.
Not a whole lot. I would like to just mention a guy, TP Wentworth. He's really, come on strong recently. He's a freshman and not a whole lot of people were really talking about him, but he's a two-way player. I don't think a lot of people know that. And I spoke to Eric Backage on him after the game Tuesday night after the Coastal game, and Eric Backage had a lot to say to him. He said that, in the future he looks to be maybe a Cade Grice type player, a guy that they can really use, and he needs to get more opportunities. So I would tell Clemson fans one thing is just look out for number 18 when he's on the mound.
Yeah, I'm definitely right there with you. I remember you asking that question, and he kind of, it was whenever you asked that question, it's kind of like you kind of sparked his interest with that. Because, like you said, not really a bunch of people know exactly what TP Wentworth can do on both sides of the ball. All right, well, shifting on from baseball, I want to move into softball real quick. They swept the series against Cal. They won the first game 5-3, and then they kind of had the same type deal with baseball yesterday. I was actually at the first doubleheader game. They were quiet early on, and then they really rallied back there in the bottom of the seventh to walk it off against Cal in the first game of that doubleheader yesterday. And then, like I said before, just the tale of two different games. That last game, they really put it on them. They had a 10-run inning. They had multiple home runs. But yeah, just great performance out of those girls coming in McWhorter and just handling business. And this is also their third straight ACC series, and this is their, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it might be their second sweep. They swept Cal and then they swept Syracuse at Syracuse last week. But just another hot weekend for Alex Brown. I've seen where she had three hits in both of those doubleheader games yesterday. And then also in those two games, we had 22 hits, and three from Maddie Moore, three from Abby Vieira, two from Julia Noller, two from Macy Cintron, two from Marion Collins, and two from Kylie Johnson. Just another thing with this softball team is the freshmen are leading the way. Macy Cintron, Marion Collins, Sam Minish, just all of those girls, they're really leading the way. And I mean, also with the veteran talent you got in Maddie Moore and Abby Vieira, it's just a full-on complete team performance. And I really feel like they're hitting their stride right now, and they have South Carolina coming up here soon, and I think the next week or so. So that's definitely going to be a good game. I know they didn't have a good game against them in Columbia, but I think this game in McWhorter might be the different story.
Yeah,
All right.
those girls have been swinging a hot stick. It's good to see that.
Yeah. All right. Well, just wanted to touch on softball real quick. Now moving into spring football. I had the chance to go to practice earlier in the week, and I mean, everybody's been saying it, and I'm gonna say it too, but Tristan Smith and Gideon Davison, they're looking the part. And I mean, they're looking the part physically, and everything I've seen in practice, just with their football play, it's just, I can tell that there's gonna be something special with those two guys. I mean, whenever you go over there and watch the receivers and you see Tristan Smith standing out, I mean, height wise, 6'5", I mean, you can't miss him. And I went to the media availability after practice yesterday, and Antonio Williams was saying just there's been some jump balls in practice. He was like, I don't know how he gets them, but he does. And then also, they're real high on Gideon Davison, just ready to see what he can do in the spring game this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, like you spoke on Tristan, he wasn't super highly recruited coming out of the portal, but I think Clemson has a really good scouting department. They take time to watch film like that, and I think they understand, just like a lot of high level coaches understand, is it doesn't matter where you come from, skill positions translate across the board. A guy like Tristan Smith that has a good high point skills, can really get out there and move a little bit and use his body. I mean, that's a great pickup. I would argue that, I know Dabo is, an advocate for the high school player and an advocate for, say we would have taken another high school guy out of the wide receivers, or maybe Troy Stilato doesn't go anywhere, then we probably don't grab Tristan Smith. But to me, I'm a really big believer, and I'm going to say this really early, that I think Tristan Smith is an upgrade at wide receiver, frankly, than anyone we would have had in his spot or anyone that we could have grabbed at a high school. Tristan is an older guy. He's not a freshman. He's not a rookie. He's an older guy. He knows work ethic. He wants to be here. I think he's great for the room, and I can't wait to see him play.
Yeah, and I mean, you love stories like Tristan Smith. He started at Southeastern Missouri, and then even before Southeastern Missouri, he was at Hutch Community College, which is another pretty good community college out there in Kansas, I believe. But just you love stories like that, and you can really tell he's humble. And just from what I've heard the other players say about him, he's a fun guy to be around as well.
Him and TJ Moore, I believe, are good friends.
Yeah, I think they've really turned into pretty good friends. And then another thing that I've noticed is just Tom Allen's coaching philosophy as a whole. Thing I noticed, I walked over there and was watching them do like defensive drills, and there's this one drill they call like rodeo or whatever, and they're like rotating around and around doing different things. But what they do at practice is they give Tom Allen a mic, and I know some people have probably seen pictures or videos of him with a mic in his hand at practice, but he's got a mic and it's connected to a speaker. And two things that stick out to me that he says, and the first one he really emphasizes on is we're going to be the best tackling team in America. And I truly believe that we will be. Just he really puts that into their minds that we're going to be the best tackling team in America. And he wants them to go to their fullest extent, even in practice. And I mean, you got to do that if you want to play good in the game. And then another thing he really said is one great rep. And I feel like that's very powerful. If you do one great rep each time, then there's no way that you don't compete to your highest extent.
Yeah, I would agree. I took the time, a couple of days ago to just watch a couple of different full games from last year, Louisville, Texas, South Carolina, Pitt, and Virginia Tech. And one thing that really did pop out to me rewatching it as a second time is just how poor our fundamentals were on defense. It wasn't necessarily a talent thing. I mean, every time we were in the backfield almost instantaneously, but we were just missing tackles. Against South Carolina, look, I think Lenore Sellers is a great quarterback, but There's no excuse for what happened to us that day. No excuse at all. I mean, you had, guys like Peter Woods totally whiffing on tackles, Wade Woodas, Jaden Lucas, guys like that just totally whiffing. And I mean, it's unexcusable. It totally is unexcusable. If you would have showed that kind of film to, a Clemson team 10 years ago, they would have puked. That wasn't our identity at all. This lack of fundamentals is a pretty new thing for Clemson. And I'm really glad that Tom Allen is, taking offense to that almost and really wants to change that.
Yeah, and I mean, you remember from the Stanford game, they had a pretty good quarterback that could run it a little bit, and they were letting him get in open field and just go. And then
Yeah, too many times.
even in the game against the Citadel, I think it was that first half, they gave up 200 something rushing yards to the Citadel. And I mean, you definitely don't want to do that for a touch up game right before the rivalry game. And then we've seen that in the rivalry game as well, where we just got exposed with open field tackling and just run defense as well. And then another thing that I've observed whenever I've gone to practice is just the defense as a whole. Really feel like this defense is going to be a full 360 from what they did last season. Just like I said, the way Tom Allen's really hammering it in those guys, one great rep, we're going to be the best tackling team in America. I just really feel like that we're actually going to do that. And then also watching the defensive line, Coach Rump and Coach Easton, they just do a great job of making sure those guys are doing what they need to do. And I thought it was funny. Coach Rump, he's always cracking jokes, but it's kind of like serious jokes. I forgot who it was, but they weren't going to their full extent. And he was like, man, this must be the cake factory or something, because that's what he calls softness. But he was like, y'all making me a cake factory. But yeah, I always think he's a pretty funny guy whenever, from what I've seen. And then also Ben Bolwer at the linebackers, you could just tell with how intense he is. And I mean, we've seen it already enough with his playing time here. And shoot, he even gets in the drills with them to show that he can do it as well. And I know I've seen from the Two Right Turns podcast, he really hits on, I want you to be able to do something that I can do as well. And I'm going to show you that I can do it, just so I'm not just hitting on it and make it be like, here, do this. I'm actually show you I can do it as well. I
Yeah,
really
I
think
think
he
that's a
does a
big
good job of that.
yeah, I think that's a big deal as well. And I was hearing that Tom Allen was tackling some guys out there. Were you out there trying to run on the field or something? What was he having?
Yeah. No, I don't think I'd run on that field, but I'd be too scared. But yeah, that was so Peter Woods was another one to talk yesterday after practice media availability, and he was saying something how he was having a day where he didn't feel all that good, I guess, practice wise. And he sees Coach Allen run up and headbutt Wade Woodhouse. And I mean, I'm pretty sure Wade Woodhouse had a helmet on, but he went up there and headbutted him. And Peter Woods was like, dang, Coach Allen's on it today. I need to be on it, and I need to live up to his energy that he's been bringing. So Tom Allen really brings that energy. And I mean, I think that Wade Woodhouse one's a new one. But and then I think I forgot who it was, but he ended up tackling somebody in practice. And I mean, that's just a great way to show those guys, hey, you're all in. I need you to be all in.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good example to set. That's things that you want to hear coming out of spring ball. If you're going to hear anything about Clemson right now, it's you want to hear intensity on defense, and that's a big deal for us.
Definitely. And I mean, whenever you think Clemson defense, you think intense. I mean, that's all I think about with the Clemson defense. All right. Well, big thing we got coming up this weekend is the spring game. And I know there's a bunch of things people want to see in the spring game. And for me, one of the major things that I want to see is how the running backs do. I know we've heard a bunch about Adam Randall, Gideon Davison, David Ezeamume, Jay Haynes, all those guys. I just want to see what they can do. I can just want to see how they run with pressure and just all of that.
Yeah, I would agree. That's a big thing for me is I got two things that I kind of want to see is I want to see us be healthy, really. I just want to see fundamentals, be clean, just have a clean, healthy game, no major injuries, nothing to be worried about. And I also want to see a couple of DBs shine. I want to see guys like Corrie Gibson and Tavoy Fegan. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, but I want to see guys like that shine a little bit. They were pretty highly recruited coming into college. And from what Dabo's talked about is he's been satisfied with how they've developed so far. And I think that's a big deal. I want to see them play really well because, hey, look, when we get in the meat part of the season, you never know. Ashton Hampton goes down with an injury. Avion Terrell goes down with an injury. Jaden Lucas is out. Who's going to step up? We got to have somebody to, play for us. So I think that's going to be a big deal, is just to see how some of the guys that have redshirted, how they perform, how they look.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing I'm gonna touch on that I've seen is actually gonna be a different format spring game this year. That from what Dabo said, I think you said it's still gonna be kind of like your usual type spring game. But from what I heard, I think everybody's gonna be on the same sideline, opposed from separate sidelines from orange and white. And then I think also they're gonna run some drills and also 7-on-7s as well. So it's definitely gonna be cool to see a different type look spring game. But I mean, I feel like it's a real good way to go about it as well. And then another big thing is it's not going to be televised either. So if you want to watch the Tigers play in the spring game, you're going to have to come to Death Valley. But I think there's going to be something like an hour program televised later on the ACC network. But yeah, if you want to watch the spring game, you're going to have to pull up to Death Valley and come and watch that one.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I know we'll be there, so hey.
Definitely. Yeah. Hey, where else will we be, you know? But another thing I kind of want to touch on, and I didn't put it in the script, but the talk on having like a preseason type deal with spring ball. I know Coach Prime and Coach Fran Brown from Syracuse, they were talking about playing each other, and then it actually got denied by the NCAA. I mean, is anybody surprised? But yeah, it got denied, and Dabo's touched on it as well. He's been wanting to do it for years, and he was saying something like how college football is really the only league that doesn't have a preseason type games where you're not playing up against yourself, but you're playing against other teams. So I really feel like that's a big thing that needs to be changed. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It's no secret to a lot of people that would know, is Dabo's been very adamant, quietly about this for the last couple of years, and for right purposes. I mean, look, this is a big deal. I mean, when you strap those shoulder pads up in late August and you play your week one game or week zero, whoever you are, a lot of times that's your first time playing. You've gone through spring ball. You've played each other, but it's totally different when you strap it up and you go against somebody else. Especially, for Clemson, we're going to play LSU, and I can tell you what, I don't care what anyone says, they're coming. They're coming hard. That's an SEC team. They're going to be physical. They're going to be big. They're going to be just as big as us or bigger at almost every position. And that's sometimes a shock to people, especially freshmen. It feels different to line up across a guy who you're not familiar with. It just does, so I think playing a spring game against another team, that would be a great idea. I would totally be in favor of it.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, you already know your schedule coming into the year. So if you're playing somebody who's not in your conference, not in your schedule, like somebody just way off, I don't see the problem in it. Like, you are going to go up against them, but then it's not going to have no implications for the season. It's just like your regular practice. So I kind of get the thing with Dion and Fran Brown wanting to scrimmage against each other, because not unless it's a bowl game or some sort, but they don't have each other's scrimmage for the season. So I don't see the harm in it. But you know how the NCAA can be, one little thing and it's denied right then and there. But I just feel like that's something that needs to change, and I feel like it would be a good thing as well.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet if, say, Georgia or an SEC team would have asked for it, then maybe the tone would have been a little different. But
Yeah,
yeah,
most definitely.
that's a story for another day.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, well, the next segment we're going to go into is something that Dawson's been big on, and that's rev share and the impact of rev share. So I'm going to let you take off with that.
I think, like we talked about the other day at the game, we kind of discussed in the press room a little bit, is, kind of the basic layout. So for me to explain it to everybody is, athletic programs will get $20.5 million to put toward their programs. And so that means that, like in Clemson, for example, I'm going to use Clemson. Clemson is already, well, we kind of already know that Clemson's probably going to use around 80 to 85% on it in football. So close to $18.5, $19 million, which is a huge jump from what Clemson has now. I can promise you that. I can't really state a number right now that Clemson was working with this past year, but that's going to be a huge jump. The one thing that does confuse me though is how now NIL is going to transfer, because now with rev sharing, that's going to take the place of a lot of collectives. Like Colorado, for example, they've already cut ties with their collective. So as many other schools, they're already now moving into a direct pay for play, which I do think is a lot better of an idea. It kind of calms down the heat of NIL, where you could just write a $2 million check for a player and throw it at a guy and he comes and plays for you. Now it's going to have to be different. And even with NIL, it's not going to be the same as just writing a check every month for a player. It's going to have to be a legit deal where they're sponsored by a company. And like we talked about earlier, like we talked about the other day, for a basketball example, I said that, Brad Brownell has a couple of families that he really does rely on, when he needs a big player. And, what does that look like now? Do those families own companies? Say, hey, we can still do what we do now, but look, player A, say he has to be sponsored by your company. If they own a bunch of Walmarts, maybe he does some Walmart commercials. You never know. Instead of just cutting a check and handing it off to him, maybe he puts on your merchandise and is in a couple of your commercials. And to take it into another basketball example, Louisville, Kentucky. They've already kind of committed, believe, maybe 9 or 10 million, something in that range, to NIL for the transfer portal in basketball. And everybody was asking me, and I'm sure you've heard it too, is where'd they get $9 million in NIL? And I'm telling people, I'm like, hey, look, it's rev share. You can spend your 20.5 million on whatever you want. A team like Kentucky or a team like Louisville that maybe not care about football that much, say, hey, they can give basketball 9 million, they can give football 5 million, 7 million or whatever, and then they can give baseball and split up between the other sports. But for Clemson, with it being so football reliant and us kind of being weaker in the NIL department, we're going to give as much to football as possible. And there's going to be a lot of schools out there that are not going to be able to do that. They're, a team like Alabama, who is trying to put together elite teams in basketball and football, you think they're going to be giving football all of their 20.5 million? No, they're going to have to give it to basketball because they're trying to compete with that as well. So I think that puts Clemson in a really good position for football. Now, for basketball and baseball, it does, like we also touched on a couple of days ago, it does put them in a little bit of an awkward situation. For baseball, look, I see plenty of people saying, why are Clemson's arms, we don't feel like we have elite arms right now in the bullpen. Our guys are throwing 90, 91, 92. Drew Titsworth might get up to 94, 95. But, you turn on Tennessee, you turn on LSU, or, not LSU necessarily, but Arkansas, you turn on a lot of the SEC teams, and everybody out of the bullpen is throwing 96, 97. And I tell people, look, what do you think a 96 mile an hour, right-hander out of the bullpen cost? That's a lot of money. And, especially now is, guys aren't making a whole lot for Clemson in baseball terms. A lot of them aren't. And, until the expanded rosters, a lot of guys aren't even on full scholarship. So, it costs money to have these great arms. And when rev share takes over, what will baseball look like? That's going to be a big thing that we're going to have to see. And how will Eric Bakich manage that? So to me, overall, it's just rev share is a great thing overall for the sport. I just hope that they can manage it, and I hope that they can control NIL to where it's not like it is now, to where just whoever has the most money will win.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely going to change the game. But like you were saying, just the way the NIL period right now is, it's just, I feel like it's going rampant. Literally, like, guys are making so much money in so many different ways, and you can't control it. And then you got some guys just hopping in the portal multiple times just because of it. So I definitely feel like the NIL stuff needs to be regulated. But I do feel like it's good, though, just for different circumstances. But I really feel like rev share is also going to be a great thing as well, too. Like you said, with splitting it up the money between football, basketball, baseball, whatever, I really feel like it's going to help out a bunch, even with Clemson's perspective on it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a big deal. I'm excited for it.
Definitely. All right, well, next segment, it's been another big one this week, is Clemson basketball and the transfer portal departures that we've had, and then also how Brad Brownell is going to navigate with the portal after all of these losses. So I'm going to let you take on that as well.
Yeah, I mean it's been crazy in Clemson right now. Like you said earlier, we've had a lot of guys jump ship, just Chauncey, Dale Jones, Jake Heidbreder, Asa Thomas, Jackson Roberts. And, I spoke to a couple of people about it, and nobody was surprised at any of the moves, which tells me a couple of things. Like an example, like we talked about the other day as well. Every starter in the portal right now wants $1 million. That's a lot of money. And, for example, I don't know this for sure. Maybe you look at Chauncey Wiggins. Maybe he wants a little more money, and they look at his production and say, "Hey, look, we're not going to give it to you." And maybe he just needs a fresh start ultimately. He just never figured it out here. So I think that's a good move for him, is to, jump in the portal. Or a guy like Dale Jones, I wasn't really surprised at that either. A lot of people were on Twitter, but from what I had, kind of conjured up, and from what I heard, maybe there were some disagreements, behind closed doors, that maybe he thought he was going to play a little bit more later in the season, and it just didn't happen. And I mean, I think I told you that this will be his fifth school in the past 5 years. When you look at high school as well, he jumped ship a lot in high school. So hey, maybe there were some discrepancy there. And look, a portal move might be easy. He's going to be a really attractive player. He's got a really bright future. Jake Heidbreder, maybe he was nudged. I don't know. He came in to do a job, and he didn't do it. There's no need for it. Asa Thomas could have seen that coming too. I mean, really didn't play a whole lot. Didn't get to do a whole lot, and I don't blame him at all. Hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? And Jackson Roberts, I mean, we don't really know a whole lot about him, but hey, understandable as well. But this leaves Clemson with four guys from the roster this past year, and two of them were redshirts. So I think that's going to be really crazy now to look at what's going to happen in the transfer portal. And a couple of guys that I've been keeping track of now is, I'm sure you guys know, a report came out this week that Nick Davidson from Nevada, he was, kind of considered one of the top guys in the portal. And he's set to visit this weekend. That's kind of a new idea. He will be joined by, a couple of his family members. I'm sure Brad Brownell will have a plan for him. As he was a redshirt junior, he was a 6'10" power forward, so kind of about the size of I would say maybe Chauncey Wiggins, maybe around that size. The guy can score. He's he was nearly scoring 16 points a game with 6.5 rebounds and a block a game. So he's got pretty solid defense. He shot pretty well beyond the 3-point line, and he was an all Mountain West selection. There's a couple other teams, say Kentucky, North Carolina, that are also on his trail. So, we got to be, that's going to be tough, is to battle Kentucky, North Carolina, especially, with how deep their pockets are. And, they're going to spend a lot in rev share. But from what, the Clemson Insider reported, is that we can expect that we've got a real shot here too. Also, I want to talk about Carter Welling, a guy that came out a couple of days ago that he was going to be making a visit. He's from Utah Valley. He'll be in town as well. The sophomore, he's 6'10". He started all 32 of his team's games. He is averaging 13 points a game, 6 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and 1.8 blocks per game. Another big guy that could really, move the needle for us. He was also named the All WAC second team. He was a pretty good defender, earning WAC Defensive Player of the Year honors. So, I mean, hey, look. We're gonna need defenders. We're losing Ian Shefflin, and we're losing most likely Jaden Zachary, and we're losing Victor Locke, and those guys were great defenders. So we're gonna have to replace them. Also, another guy to talk about is Cooper Schwanger. Sorry, if I butchered his last name, but he's ranked as the 10th best power forward in the portal. Valparaiso forward as a sophomore. He's 6'10" again, so another guy with some length and some size. He started 34 games, averaged 15.8. He shot 48% from the field and 30% from the free throw, or 30% from 3-point line. He's averaged 14.5 and 6 rebounds in his career of 65 games. So that's, three guys right there that are, looking to take their tours to Clemson. I'm sure Brad Brownell probably has a couple of other guys lined up right now that, hey, maybe we don't know about. But those three guys right there tell me that, hey, we're going to be active. We're going to be looking right now because we got a lot to replace.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a tale of two different teams. I know I keep saying that. I don't know why, but Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a
It's
different
true.
look. Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a different look team next year in Little John. But I do know one thing, and I mean, like you said, we've already seen it, but I know Brad will cook in the portal. He always does. I mean, the year before last, he brought back Joe Girard from Syracuse. This year he brings Locken, he brings Zachary. So he definitely has hit those home runs in the portal, but I feel like this go around, it's definitely going to be a much bigger haul than he's had in the past couple of years. And then I also know we have some pretty good recruits coming in as well, but definitely going to be a different look team playing a Little John next year for sure.
Yeah, we hope he cooks. We hope he's not burning the stove up in there,
Yeah. All right. Well, the next segment, and this one's a really cool one. I thought it was pretty cool, but you had the chance to talk with Talon Bell and kind of ask him a couple questions after his start the other night against Presbyterian. So I'm gonna let you take it off with this too.
I knew Talon, just from mutuals on Instagram and stuff. And whenever I heard he was going to pitch, I was, really excited. And after Wednesday, I DM'd him. I said, "Hey, just had a couple of questions for you." And he said, "Yeah, let's do it." So the first thing I asked him was, "How has, he been coming off recovery and how's he feeling?" And like I put in the article, he said, he's getting a lot better since his recovery. And the biggest thing to him was coming off of Tommy John, which he had surgery for him, is when you get to college, there's so much more that you learn about injuries and you learn about recovery. And they teach you how to take care of your body with not only what you do in recovery, but with what you eat, how you sleep, stuff like that. Then I asked him, how was Clemson and how was his experience in college baseball, and what were his expectations going in? And he said it's been a little bit of a surprise. College baseball, it's different. I get it. He said Clemson has been more than anything he's ever could ask for, and so far everything has met his expectations, which is good. As a young guy like him, it's sometimes it's hard to just keep a cool head and focus on the right stuff, but hey, guys like that, they're made out of the right material and they're, great guys. And then I also asked him, with veterans like Aiden Canuck and Ethan Darden and, BJ Bailey and guys like that in the bullpen and starting roles, has he learned anything from them at all? And he said, yeah, Aiden and Ethan have both taught him a lot, but, mainly what he's learned from them is just watching them and seeing them pitch. Sometimes actions can be the best teacher. And I think, when you got a guy like Aiden Canuck, who's a young guy, but it feels like he really does feel like a veteran presence. I think that's the best thing for you, because it's one thing to tell somebody how things are supposed to go and talk to someone about it, and it's another thing to just go out on the field and show it every day at practice. And I think, Talon's got a lot of older guys in there that are, really good mentors for him. And then, I asked him, the last question I asked him was, what are his expectations for himself coming off injury this year? And how does he think that that can provide the team success? And, obviously he's a high confidence guy. He said he always has a lot of confidence in himself and a lot of expectations. He's really excited. He just wants to help the team win at every opportunity. And I think, down the stretch, we can get him back going. We can get Michael Gillen and guys like that. Is I think he will have his opportunity. He will have his chance. So, I'm really rooting for the guy. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about him too. Just from what I've heard about him, and then with you talking with him as well, and then just seeing him pitch the other night against Presbyterian, he really impressed me in a short time of work. But listening to what Backich had to say after the game, he was just saying that he's going to keep doing this. He's going to keep having those midweek starts on limited time. But that's what you got to do whenever you're working yourself back. You got to get those live game reps. And I mean, he did a great job against Presbyterian, but I'm just really excited to see what he's got moving forward. And even back his touchdown, he's got the chance to be a weekend type of guy, and I'm buying into the hype. I really think he's going to be a difference maker in this Clemson bullpen for sure, or starting on the mound, whichever one he does. But he's definitely going to be right there with the mix with Aiden and Ethan and all those guys.
Yeah, I mean, he was a great baseball player coming out of high school. He was the Florida Gatorade Player of the Year, a Team USA player. So there's definitely a lot there to unlock with him. He was a hard throwing guy, so there's what's not to like about the player. He's a great kid.
Yeah, for sure. So going into now the schedule for the upcoming week, first with baseball on Tuesday night, another midweek game. They'll be playing it up against Georgia Southern, and that game will be played over in North Augusta. And then they head to California for the weekend series, their first trip out west with the new ACC member Cal. And then also with softball, they also have a midweek game on Tuesday at home in McWhorter against Gardner-Webb. That game's slated to be at 6 p.m. And then they also head out to the West Coast to face Stanford, which is another ACC member. It's just crazy with those teams going back
Yeah.
and forth from coast to coast. But hey, that's the college athletics we live in. And then obviously the big one, we have the football spring game at 1 p.m. It's not televised, so make sure if you're in the Clemson area or if you're coming up in the Clemson area, you get there for that because you definitely won't be able to see it on TV until later on with the special program, from what I've heard. And then also for lacrosse, they also have a game on Tuesday up at the lacrosse facility against East Carolina. That's slated for 5 p.m. And they head over to Blacksburg, take on Virginia Tech on Saturday. And then also for gymnastics, they qualified for the gymnastics championships. On Thursday, they'll be in Tuscaloosa for the Alabama regional. They'll take on Rutgers for what's going to be a play-in meet. So, if they end up beating Rutgers, then they will have the regular meet, and they'll go up against Florida, Oregon State, and NC State, and that'll definitely be a tough one with some gymnasts who made it to the Olympics on both of those or three of those teams. I think I definitely know for Oregon State, Jade Carey, she's definitely a good one to watch for Olympians. And then even if they don't end up winning on Thursday, Bree Clark, Hannah Clark, and also Madison Manor will have individual performances on Friday as well. So that's the week for Clemson Athletics. Another busy week, even though both baseball and softball is on the road. But I know one thing's for certain. I can't wait to get in that spring game, man. It's definitely going to be something to watch, and it's definitely going to get me hyped for football season. I'm already hyped right now from going to practice. I texted Charles. I was like, man, I'm ready for football. It's getting me fired up. So definitely gives us something to watch before we take on LSU first game of the season.
Yeah, definitely ready for it.
For sure, for sure. All right, kind of wrapping it up. Any final thoughts on today's episode? Just recapping it up.
Yeah, one last thing I would like to add. I'm pretty sure it is public knowledge now, but they will be doing a fire sale of all, exclusive Clemson gear in the Burton Gallery at Little John from 8 to 1 p.m. Saturday before the game. It will be cashless. So bring your cards, bring your tap to pay, and all sales are final. So, hey, get there early, get you some cool gear.
Definitely, yeah. That's another good thing to add. I feel like I might show up there at 8 a.m. I'm always one of those type of guys that
Yeah.
likes getting that gear, but we'll see how much it is with the price tag because I know they might think highly of those things, which I mean I would too. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody once again for listening. If you're returning, and thanks for our new listeners as well. Make sure to subscribe if you're watching the video version on YouTube, and also if you're listening to the audio version on wherever you get your podcast at. We just want to say thanks for listening again. And as always, I kind of want to end off with just social media plug. Social media is always a big thing, especially nowadays. That's basically where people go for their news. So I'll start off. My Instagram's GavinJames.12, and then Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, is GJames_1212.
Yeah, and me on Instagram. You can find me at SMITTYFLIX, Mitty Flicks. And then on my Twitter page, it'll be all capital GMFLOFLIX. So that's GameFlow Flicks. So yeah, there we go.
All right, well, that'll do it. Once again, thanks for listening in to the Tiger View podcast, and keep tuning in each week as we keep bringing you the coverage and inside scoop of Clemson Athletics. Once again, it's been Gavin and Dawson on the Tiger View podcast. See you, everybody.
Thank you.